Good afternoon, welcome to our meeting. It's 1:30 PM on April 2nd, 2024, and time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. To my right is Tony Olson, our Vice President. To my left is Rebecca Wolf, our Secretary. Joining me today is John Hoffman, our Customer and Energy Services Assistant General Manager. Sean Aronow, our Acting General Counsel. Jenny Rich and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerks of the Board. Keep mute or turn off your cell phones or electronic devices at this time. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
We will add item 00.01, add at places amended agenda, and item 05A.03, add at places amended, page 169, Exhibit A of the Collective Bargaining Agreement 2024 to 2028.
Thank you. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from sign-up card located at the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone, and I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state your speaker's name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So we'll start out with the flag salute, if you'll please join me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First up, item 1 is our Assistant General Manager facilitating our briefing and study session.
Good afternoon,
John. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. And thank you all for your patience as I read this for the first time with you. And I'm very happy to be here with you today. First update is from our human resources team. We are very excited to talk about the fact that the CBA vote passed with our IBEW team.
John, we're actually, that's later. That's John briefing. This is just, we're here to talk about our legislative update.
Oh, I apologize.
Introducing Ryan Collins.
Okay. I was going to say, the person I'm filling in for is not here.
So no worries. Good afternoon, Commissioners. For the record, I'm Ryan Collins, the District State Government and External Affairs Specialist 3. And I am here to provide you with a quick recap of the 2024 session, which recently ended on March 7th. The purpose of this presentation is to report on legislation we've identified as key state legislation for the Commission. On today's agenda, I will quickly provide an overview of the larger legislative session, then talk to the final state of our key legislation, a deeper dive on the bills that passed this year, and I will finish with a highlight of some of the key points for the 2024 supplemental budget. While I've left time at the end of this presentation for any questions, please feel free to jump in at any time, as usual. Start. As you know, the state legislature handles its business in a biannual manner, with a long 105-day session in the odd number years and a short 60-day session in even number years. The 2024 session was a short session, but I can say, and as you can see from the graph on the left, it was still an active one. Looking across both years, approximately 1,600 bills were introduced in the 2023 session, while approximately 1,200 were introduced in the 2024 session. To highlight that number in a different way, an average of 40 bills were introduced every day before the first policy cutoff in 2023. That average ticked up to 50 bills per day before the first cutoff in 2024. Interestingly, the rate of bills that passed out of each legislative session was constant at 30% each year. The high-level themes that emerged this session were a mix of new and old. Artificial intelligence, also known as AI, captured the interest of legislators as well as everybody else in society. Lawmakers expressed the need to track this emerging technology and potentially regulate it. The session lawmakers acknowledged that generative AI has the potential to transform our society for the good. They also voiced strong concern for potential harms. These policy discussions will undoubtedly continue to be prominent in years to come. Housing, once again, was a focal point for lawmakers. While several topics were debated this session, no major policy changes were really signed into law. Rather, the legislature made modest adjustments building off of prior year's work. Climate and decarbonization policies continue to be a priority for the legislators in 2024. And while this session yielded several new laws, the impact of those policies on the PUD's operations felt less intense than years when the Clean Energy Transformation Act, the Climate Commitment Act, and the Low Carbon Fuel Standard were debated and signed into law. Lawmakers used the 2024 session to build up those large legislative initiatives with policies like the CCA Linkage Bill and the GHG Disclosure Repeal Bill, both of which Stonewall PUD supported. The PUD also supported solar consumer protections that will standardize contract language and strengthen protections, such as requiring detailed information upfront for solar systems to be installed. We engaged in efforts to support energy efficiency programs like the Energy Efficiency Third-Party Navigator Program, and participated in stakeholder discussions aimed at the state's transportation electrification strategy. Of note for the commission, while our key legislation often centers on energy policies, Snohomish PUD does monitor and participate in policy discussions on many other issues. Specifically this year, we noticed an uptick in debate and action related to water policy, workforce issues, and emerging technologies. This session, Quentin and I reviewed all 1,191 bills that were introduced and then closely tracked approximately 200. Of those 200, government relations determined 10 of those would be reported as key legislation. Speaking of those 10 bills, 50% passed the legislature this year. HB 1955, the GHG Disclosure Repeal Bill, HB 1589, which is PSE's decarbonization legislation, HB 2156, the Solar Consumer Protections Bill, SB 6058, the CCA Carbon Market Linkage legislation, as well as HB 2199, which creates a tax exemption for the sale of CCA allowances. HB 2082, the Transmission Workforce Study, and HB 1391, the Energy Efficiency Navigator Program, landed in the 2024 operating budget and will be implemented under current authorities and statute. The remaining three proposals failed to achieve consensus and ultimately did not pass. HB 2253, which would create a new standard for community solar program, create a new statewide community solar program. SB 6206, which would shift the receivership responsibilities of failed water systems. And SB 6304, which would implement several recommendations from the state's transportation electrification strategy. While these bills failed to move through the legislature in the 2024 session, nothing is really truly considered dead when it comes to policy, and we anticipate seeing these issues come back up in future sessions. For the bills that passed, I'll start with HB 1955. As a reminder, this bill would repeal the greenhouse gas disclosure content provision within CETA. Under this legislation, Snohomish PUD will still report its GHG emissions, but only through one agency, the Department of Ecology. The bill was signed by the governor on March 14th, just after the end of session, and it has an effective date of June 6th. Next is HB 1589, or Supporting Washington's Clean Energy Economy and Transitioning to a Clean, Affordable, and Reliable Energy Future. As you may recall, this bill was brought to the legislature by Puget Sound Energy and aims to set them on a path to ease out of the retail natural gas business. This legislation was heavily debated across the 2023 and 2024 sessions. Even after passage, the bill continues to generate opposition and support from a variety of stakeholders. The final bill builds the regulatory framework for PSE to phase out of natural gas. This was a change from earlier versions, which would have allowed an almost immediate stop for new natural gas connections. Key provisions include the creation of a single integrated service plan, or ISP, for PSE, which allows them to plan for both electric and gas service in a single plan. Included in this new ISP are items like emissions targets, benchmarks to implement their clean energy action plans, and incentives for low-income electrification. While this bill will not have immediate impacts on PUD operations, it requires PSE to coordinate with consumer-owned utilities that overlap with their service areas. This language explicitly outlines how PSE must conduct outreach to impacted COUs if their ISP includes targeted electrification and provides data, and they must provide data for assessing the impact of new load capacity and electric distribution for a COU's grid. As these outreach plans must be included in a submitted ISP, which is then approved by the Utilities Transportation Commission, or UTC, affected utilities will also have the option to engage in the public process. The bill was signed by the governor on March 28th and has an effective date of June 6th.
Does this apply only to PSE?
Yes, it is. The bill is narrowly drafted to
not
be.
Not under investment.
Yeah, it should only apply to PSE.
No problem.
Next is HB 2156, addressing consumer protections for the individuals who choose to install solar on their business or home. The legislation provides details on licensing and contract requirements for solar installations in Washington State and standardizes contract language for customers. Snohomish PUD staff were heavily engaged in discussions related to this policy change. We provided feedback on timing for reconnection agreements to be completed prior to the installation and engaged in discussions on how to strengthen communications between utilities and solar installers during the installation process. The State Department of Commerce ran point on this process and did so in a thoughtful way that engaged all stakeholders. As such, the legislation was unanimously supported throughout the process. The bill was signed by the governor on March 28th, and it has also an effective date of June 6th.
Here I am again.
Yeah, of course.
Can I go back to the one with PSE?
Yeah, the PSE bill.
I was just reading. So there's words like coordinate, cooperate, but when you said public process for PUDs, does that mean that our customers have to approve this? Can't have the opportunity to approve it or deny it?
So my understanding of how this works is that if there are overlaps, so PSE has to submit an ISP every certain amount of years for the combination of both electric and gas with the UTC going forward. So there's the public process as it relates to any of the rate cases that the UTC deals with as it relates to PSE and the new ISP. There's also provisions in the bill that require PSE to provide outreach to us, saying, hey, the city of Everett, we're potentially going to be moving off of natural gas. This is the amount of customers we anticipate. So the data, the expected load increases, all these other things kind of behind the scenes, PSE is required to coordinate with us on.
Coordinate.
Correct.
So what responsibility do we have to our electric customers? It's a public utility, so they're not given the right to vote on it, or?
Again, it would be through the UTC process,
okay.
Or anything we potentially would want to do internally in front of you guys.
Okay, I think that would be
dead. Yeah, no worries. One back. So for consumer protections, we supported the final bill, which included language. Oh, excuse me, that's a little bit too far. As I mentioned, the State Department of Commerce was leading the charge on this. It was unanimously supported throughout the process and was signed on the 28th.
It would be interesting if those misleading commercials go away.
I would. That's
I just saw one this morning. If you've got a power meter, you have free solar panels.
The hope is, again, that this type of legislation will help kind of mediate some of those more challenging business practices. Next up is SB 6058, which amends the Washington statute to allow the Department of Ecology to link Washington's carbon market with California and Quebec's. As a reminder, this bill will align Washington's statute to better ensure compatibility between Washington's carbon markets and those of California and Quebec. To do so, the bill includes technical adjustments that will harmonize these three carbon markets by standardizing rules and procedures for trading and market coordination. It will also establish consistent reporting standards as well as help connect the necessary infrastructure for linking each jurisdiction's auctions, allowances, and emissions data. Snohomish PUD supported the final version of this bill, which included language we sought alongside our utility peers that would remove roadblocks for the Bonneville Power Administration to voluntarily participate in the Climate Commitment Act carbon program, as well as the inclusion of a definition called wheeled electricity. These provisions should help reduce compliance obligations for the PUD. Moreover, the benefits inherent in linking Washington's carbon markets with California and Quebec should benefit all of Washington's ratepayers by lowering allowance prices while hopefully providing additional price predictability and stability. The bill was signed by the governor on March 28th with an effective date January 1st, 2025. The reason for the prolonged implementation date relates to I-2117, which is the ballot initiative that would repeal the CCA. This initiative will head to voters in November, and if it does pass, SB 6058 will become null and void. Finally, HB 2199, which creates a B&O tax and public utility tax exemption for entities that are required to engage in the Climate Commitment Act carbon markets. As a reminder, under the CCA, covered entities are required to purchase or are provided at no cost carbon allowances to cover carbon emissions. This bill would modify Washington statute to exempt those sales from state taxes, which was the original intention of the law. The bill was signed by the governor on March 15th and an effective date of, what is it, the second today? Yesterday. April 1st. Finally, I wanted to address the remaining five bills that did not pass the legislature this session. As I mentioned earlier, two bills, 2182, which assesses the need for the electrical transmission industry, and 1391, which creates a statewide energy efficiency navigator program, were funded through the budget and will be implemented. The three remaining bills died in the 2024 session. 2253, which would stand up a new state community solar program, 6206, which would change the receivership of failing water systems, 6304, which would implement several of the recommendations of the state's transportation electrification strategy. All failed to muster the support needed to pass through the legislature, but as you can imagine, given the limited time and a short session, this was a pretty high hurdle to pass. That said, as I kind of mentioned at the top, nothing is truly dead, so we anticipate seeing some of these pop back out next year. Now, budgets. As a reminder, the legislature passes an initial budget in the long session and then passes a supplemental budget during the short session of the biennium. These annual budgets are then separated into three narrow different categories depending on the type of spending. First, there's the operating budget, which covers spending on typical government services minus the transportation sector. This is, think of school funding or funding for Commerce's energy office. Then there is the capital budget, which would include all the physical capital expenditures and projects. And finally, there's the transportation budget, which self-explanatory, and covers all the spending related to transportation. I've included the top line funding for the three budgets passed by the legislature in the past 2 years. For your reference, the operating budget is where most of the programs on the left reside. Let's start with some good news. There is $150 million allocated in the operating budget for a one-time bill credit to low and moderate income electricity customers. This funding comes from revenue generated by the CCA and is intended to help our customers with increased energy costs. Those funds will be allocated by the Department of Commerce, then administered by Washington State's electric utilities. We are coordinating with Jeff Feinberg and the Energy Services team to further design and implement this program, and will likely use several similar processes for how we handle the community support pledges during COVID. Hopefully this will make things a little bit more easy to implement. There's also $38 million appropriated in the capital budget for community solar resiliency grant programs to help deploy solar and battery storage in community buildings. The Energy Efficiency Navigator was funded through the operating budget to the tune of $2.5 million, while the Transmission Workforce Working Group received $275,000. There's also $500,000 in funding for a value of solar study to investigate the large societal benefits of residential solar, meaning the policy conversation surrounding rooftop solar and net energy metering will not be going away anytime soon. Finally, I wanted to update the commission on the state of the play of the ballot initiatives. As you're likely aware, six initiatives that would repeal recent laws garnered sufficient valid signatures for consideration. Under Washington statute, the legislature has three options to address each of these initiatives. Adopt the initiative to the legislature, in which case the legislature directly enacts the initiative into law. Reject or not act on the initiative, in which case they choose not to act on the initiative or reject it, resulting in the initiative going being placed on the November ballot. Or approve an alternative to the proposed initiative. If approved by the legislative body, both the original proposal and the legislative alternative would be placed on the ballot next to each other. Three of the six were passed by the legislature, meaning that three remain. Those are 2109, which would repeal the capital gains tax, 2124, which would allow individuals to opt out of the state's new long-term care program, and finally 2117, which would repeal the cap and invest program known as the Climate Commitment Act. Each will be on the ballot in November, where voters will decide their fate. While there are varying opinions on these policies, there is little debate of the budgetary impacts should they be repealed. As an example, of the $1.3 billion appropriated in the 2024 capital budget, $684 million, so approximately half of that, originates in the Climate Commitment Act accounts. Under that, a scenario where the CCA is repealed, those funds would lapse, and this funding would no longer be available. The 2024 session was intriguing, and the upcoming year promises to have some more intriguing moments. Finally, I wanted to share my appreciation for being in this role and representing Snohomish PUD at the state level. I especially want to thank the internal teams that helped analyze bills, offer helpful suggestions, get pulled into meetings with agencies, review testimony, and generally pop us up so we can represent the utility. As you know, it takes a village of people to do this work, and I'm so thankful that we have everyone here who helps us through, even though it means later nights, sometimes weekends, emailing, and dealing with tight timelines. There are too many people to thank individually, but I really want to send my thanks to the power supply teams, energy services, water, HR, and legal for all of their assistance. It makes my job serving our communities and our customers as the face of our organization in Olympia all the more incredible and honored, and it's a true honor. Because of their work, the district is well regarded amongst lawmakers, and I am also looking forward to many sessions ahead. And with that,
I want to say how much I appreciate what you do and the way you report on this. And two things in particular, I was really happy to see that these ones that didn't pass are included in the budget brief overview, and also that you did mention the impact that if these initiatives pass, this is really going to devastate our state's economy in a lot of ways.
Absolutely, and thank you. I'm happy to be presenting these, and I'm glad that the information, it's a new format, so we're happy that it's working. And yes,
the three that didn't pass must have been really, really bad.
three were passed by the state legislature, so they're actually in law now. These three, again, we'll see what happens in November.
Right. I'm sorry. They did
pass. They did pass. They did pass the three of them.
They are already in law.
Correct.
Sorry. Okay.
Commissioner Wilson, do you have any questions or comments?
No.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. I have none, but I want to thank you. I like the new format. It's really helpful. Okay. It's a very logical way for us to do it.
Thanks
for your hard work, and I'm sure you're starting on next year's long session, right?
Absolutely. We're already looking into it.
Great.
Thanks, Commissioners.
So next up, we have item two, recognitions and declarations. We have our employee of the month for April. And Heather, I'm going to butcher your last name, I'm sure, but I'm going to say Grizzola. No? Good. So I'll introduce Brian Parsley.
Parsley, yeah.
Parsley. Introduce Heather.
Hello, my name is Brian Parsley. I work at the Jackson Powerhouse, and Heather Grizzola is a co-worker of mine. Little background on her. Heather's a 6-year Navy veteran serving on the USS Nimitz as a propulsion and auxiliary supervisor, lead petty officer, and chief petty officer of RPO 5. She likes to spend her time with her two boys, Colt and Wesley, and husband Josh on their little farm in Sultan that's got lots of critters. And I just want to note that because of this, she's a bad influence. And my wife keeps bringing animals home. Heather was hired in July of 2021 as a generation plant operator. And I want to emphasize how technical of a job a plant operator is at Jackson. typically takes a couple of years to learn the ins and outs of it. Heather jumped in and had the operational theory and principles down in a few months. All I can say is she's a natural. She's very quick, savvy, has aptitude to learn things, being very proficient at them. Some key points about Heather are she's very professional, she's a team leader, she's an excellent communicator, she always finds ways to improve processes. As a representative from Jackson, I'm proud to be here and say some kind words about Heather. She truly deserves this award. Sarah, I'm gonna slaughter this. Sarah, how do you say Sarah's last name, Chapley?
Oh, Gunsler.
Gunsler. Sorry. That's a tough one. From Power Scheduling, she's the one that wrote some very positive and empowering things about Heather, and she submitted the Employee of the Month nomination. I'll give you a snippet of what she said. So this is in regards to her characteristics like positive attitude, integrity, initiative, and work ethic. Her quote was, "Heather has all these characteristics in spades. We are so incredibly lucky to have her. She does us ladies proud." So I read the article when it comes out in the highlights. I think I'm done rambling. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to highlight this special person of ours. And I want to congratulate you. It's well deserved. And thank you for showing up. Give us some love and support. So give a round of applause.
Don't be shy. Come on up.
Thank you.
Delicious. I have a question for you later.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you so very much.
Well deserved.
Thank you. It was pretty impressive.
Reading the comments, it sounds like you have a positive attitude when someone calls you in the middle of the night. You don't groan or sigh, you hop up and take it on. And
probably the two small children. Already awake.
Yeah. So do you have anything you want to tell us?
Well, I just want to thank my crew. They definitely, we're a family up there at Jackson. And
they always.
Yes, if you'd all raise your hands,
hey, crew.
Please.
Oh.
So I think all 12
is anybody
of us are
tending
here?
The works out there?
Yeah. Robots running the dam?
Or manager in charge?
It's automated, don't tell anybody.
But yeah, I'd really like to thank them for their support.
Great.
And of course, the other departments, Sarah, Fernaldi.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of things we have an award to. We don't have a piece of clothing today.
She didn't.
Do you want to do the picture?
No.
Okay. So, are you a pilot? I see you here with you.
Classic.
We take snow surveys to estimate the amount of water
yeah.
that we're going to get, and that was on the helicopter flight.
That's a pretty cool
there.
Thing to do, isn't it?
Yes, it
yeah.
was a once in a lifetime trip for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question about the mothership Nimitz. Mother Nimitz?
Yes.
Is that. What is that?
So
I mean, I've heard
it's
of
a large
the
aircraft carrier.
Well,
and
I know the Nimitz is a big ship.
So the nukes, the ones that help run the reactors, we kind of consider her like our mother ship because we're an odd group.
Uh-huh.
Our sense of humor is a little different, so we kind of refer to her as our Mother Nimitz.
I knew a man who has passed on now, but he was on a Nimitz during World War II, I think, wasn't that? In the Pacific, World War II?
Not the Nimitz that I was on.
Oh, not that. Yeah,
the one I was on is only like 40 years old.
Oh.
Right after the Bay of Pigs is when it got commissioned. It was being built around that time.
Right. Well, when I read the description or the all the tributes to you, I thought this sounds like a description for Wonder Woman.
Thank you. Sometimes I feel like it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, and would you like to have this for you?
Slacking on the pictures.
Can we get a picture? Can we get all the pictures? One chair, so I can scooch over a chair. Go ahead.
You're really cool.
Thank you.
So.
You guys remember that part.
I'm gonna go home with her tonight. Don't let her get too big of a head.
Well, she's damn cool.
She is pretty dang cool.
So I've been up to Jackson a long time ago. So that SCADA system interfaces with the district SCADA system, or is that all one system?
It's kind of one. There's this slightly different, but we do give them some of the controls of ours.
Okay.
We have the SCADA, and through that we use Blenderware.
Okay.
So I was kind of making sure that it's kind of like Homer Simpson up there with all the screens, and you push the buttons now.
Well, that's what I recall. There was these round things on a wall, and then there were all these
monitors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sure Homer Simpson's the best analogy.
I mean, cause any meltdown.
Yeah. There's a lot of water. So.
There's a lot of water. Yeah. I live in Sultan, so I. Yeah. We'll keep the water where it's at.
Have we had any in the recent years spill Morning Glory?
We have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the last one was 2 years ago.
I didn't think we, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're just so lucky to have.
I'd like to be up there to see that. So.
Oh, it's impressive.
Isn't it?
I highly recommend if you can get up there, get them to give you a phone number or something. It typically is, yeah. It takes a lot of rain for us to get to that point.
Yeah.
It's just impressive.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do?
Another round of applause, and then we'll get a photo.
All right. Picture time. 1, 2, 3.
It's okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
No, thank you very much.
Thank
congratulations.
You. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Rowan is getting very exciting. You do not have to hang around if you don't
want to. What's up, Heather?
Does that apply to everyone? Does it?
No. You have to stay. You have to stay after all. All right, next item 3, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda? So please state your name and last name for the record.
I have none.
Okay, I'm not seeing anyone on Zoom. So. Next is item 4. Our consent agenda. 4A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of March 19th, 2024, the special meeting of March 22nd, 2024, and the special meeting of March 26th, 2024. 4B, bid award professional service contracts amendments. 4C, consideration of certification / ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda?
There are none.
I'm not seeing any hand raised either online or in the room. Thank you. Are any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
I saw 5 years. I think that is good planning.
It's a 5-year. Not to exceed a certain number of years, which is up to 5 years, which I think is very good planning.
Which item are you on the
consent? Oh, well, printing.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Okay. What did she say?
Printing.
The printing, semi-annual current magazine printing.
Yeah.
Thing. Okay. Sometimes when you go out longer, you get a better price.
Okay. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next is item 5, items for individual consideration. 5A, consideration of a resolution authorizing execution of a collective bargaining agreement between the Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County and the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers Number 77 for the period of April 1st, 2024 through March 31st, 2028. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
With Amanda Bowman available to answer any questions regarding those resolutions. Let's first see if there's any comments from the public. I'm not seeing any online. I'm not seeing any in the room. Do you have any questions, commissioners?
I do not.
Comments?
I do have a comment. The board was kept apprised of this entire, where's the minute? Was kept apprised at several points through the negotiations. And I must, as a commissioner, it was very helpful to me because this is a very important contract for the board and for the employees, at least. Do we have 60% represented? Anyway, I so appreciated that. And while I don't know the nitty gritty, but the way that it was organized and planned was the best I've ever seen. So good words.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think this time I felt better informed and earlier informed. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was behind the eight ball. But I appreciate what a collaborative process that both sides are engaged in. And well, that's just, you know, talk about team TV, that is just wonderful. So thank you so much. Any follow-up questions?
No, I just agree that it was a really impressive effort on everybody's part. And I know it was probably some long hours. Yeah. So a lot of detail.
Well, I will then call for the vote. All those in favor, we do have a hand up. Let's go ahead and take it. We haven't voted yet. Gayla Shoemake.
Oh.
Good afternoon, Gayla. We have 5 minutes. You're muted.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I didn't realize it was quite time. I am encouraging you to build as many solar farms as you have in Arlington around the state. I think it was important for SnowPud to have as many resources as possible under their control. And I suggest that you look at around the county at the vacant lots that cannot be used for food or for farming, but that are just sitting there, and identify as many as possible to make a solar farm. And if you would do similar as you did at Arlington and encourage people in the area, in the county, to buy solar panels so that the cost would not be as great at one time for the PUD. That way we would be more in control of our own electricity rather than having to depend on other resources, very expensive, like we had back in January, or for the BPA, depending on what's going on there. But that would allow us to have more control over our own electricity and also to allow people in the county to be solar, even if they couldn't be solar in their homes. So please think about it. And if you would like for people to send you potential vacant lots, I think I could work on that as well. Anyway, I'm very concerned about our future and about electricity in the future and the lack of rain and snow that will affect the amount of power that we have at the PUD. So these other solar farms would be very valuable and I think reasonable to put together, I'm not really sure, compared to some of the more expensive programs that we're underway now. Thank you very much. Again, it's Gayla Shoemake from Edmonds.
Thank you, Gayla. Okay, item 5A. No more questions from the public or comments from the commissioners. So I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. All right. Next, we have our CEO General Manager report. John, you're on.
Let's try this again.
Your debut.
Yeah, that was my warm up. By item 8 on the agenda, I promise I'll have this all down. So Some updates from around the district, starting with our human resources partners. They were very excited about the collective bargaining agreement vote passing IBEW and then passing here today. So thank you very much for your support of that. Just to call out from my own personal experience, in the past life, each department bargained their own contract, and the idea of having everyone in one contract speaks to the collaboration and partnership that IBEW and our human resources teams have here. So very, very excited to see that. Our recruiting continuous improvement project kicked off to overhaul our systems, procedures, and training for hiring managers. Our new crucial influence leadership training launched on March 27th. And we are beginning the process of working with an external executive recruiter on the HR director recruitment process. We did also, from our corporate communications team, have the education team, along with employees from Natural Resources, Generations, and Facilities, host 110 students and 20 chaperones for their first big elementary school field trip of 2024 at Woods Creek. As a parent of four, the idea of 110 students freaks me out. But they did it despite the rain. The fourth graders from Glenwood Elementary learned about hydropower at six educational stations set up around the grounds.
Fourth graders.
110 fourth graders.
Sorry, that was Glenwood Elementary?
It was Glenwood Elementary out of the Lake Stevens School District. Our spring current is at the printer. There's lots of information and a map, and a promotion for our energy block party is included. Current should hit customer mailboxes the week of April 15th, just in time for the energy block party on April 27th. I submitted three updates, and if I would have known I was reading them, I would have been less wordy, so I apologize. We are submitting our second Clean Energy Transformation Act Energy Assistance Report. This is required reporting, but also something that we take pride in participating in. In this round of reporting, we've identified that our programs are already at 87% of our goal for our 2030 target. Staff supported the Senior Resource Expo this last week at the Hotel Indigo. It was incredibly popular event. We ran out of discount applications within the first few hours, and our staff had to come back to get more and get them distributed to people in need. The Casino Road community asked for local youth art to be included at the South Everett Community Solar Project that we just broke ground on recently. We will be hosting an art activity for all grade levels at Horizon Elementary. The activity is led by local artists and PUD staff. Students will get a brief lesson on renewable energy and then paint wooden suns that and hand cutouts that will be installed on the project fence. And those are the updates.
Any questions for new John?
John, no, just an observation. We were given some handouts at our last meeting, and I handed them out in my neighborhood because folks wanted to go this year. But the first thing they asked me was, where is the map for parking? So I don't know if that's something that should be done or should not be done. I'm just passing on those few that I gave it to. That was one of your first questions.
I appreciate the feedback, because I know we did call out that parking would be limited. So if a
Well, I don't want to change, you know, if things have gone to print, I don't want to change anything.
Yeah.
It's just that they question where it was.
Good feedback to learn from.
Maybe that could be on the website or on the our social media.
I don't know. I'm just mentioning it because and whatever I should ask, I need some more of those because the word is passed to the community. So some of can you?
Yeah, I could probably take, I left about 15 at the Edmonds Public Library, but I could put some other places too, if you want us to. I don't think the south part of the county attended as well as the other parts of the county. So I'd like to get the south end in more involved. So yeah, we could do some more.
Thank you. Next is item 7, commission business, 7A commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
Well, the highlight of my last 2 weeks was that I had the opportunity to be the commissioner who sits in on the new employees orientation program. And I just love doing that. I love meeting the new employees. And I think we had 8 or 9, and each one of them really brings a lot to our utilities. So I just want to highlight that I really enjoy that, love it every time I get to do that. So that was my highlight.
Did you also hear any reports?
No.
My only report is I attended the Community Transit Orange Line ceremony on Saturday. It was very well attended. We got some shout outs from PUD, and then later I, from CT staff, I got some additional shout outs for our government affairs folks and McDonald. So it's just great to see us working with that organization. And they had an electric bus there, and they had people in and after great difficulty, they had one of the light rail trains sitting up there. So it's pretty impressive, the new facility there in Redwood. So,
okay. Next is 7B, our commissioner events calendar. Are there any changes to the events calendar?
I don't have any.
You have any?
No.
Okay. Next is 7C, our 2024 district performance dashboard. Any questions or comments about the dashboard?
Do you know what page that is on? I was searching for
326.
It. 326. Okay, so well, I'll take a look at it. I'm sure it's fine.
Questions or comments?
None.
Okay. See that our electric system uptime is 99.97%.
I know.
That is awesome. The wind's not blowing either, but thank you. All right, next is item 8, governance planning. 8A, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
I don't think we have any. We talked about that a little bit at our special meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think we've got a couple of things that Colin is going to be bringing back to us. I don't think are on here. So, and then of course we'll come back and hopefully approve our board policies to work on. Okay. Is there any further business coming before the board today?
I have none.
Okay. It is now 2:17, and the board will recess into executive session to discuss the legal limits of current practice for closed action under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meetings Act. It's anticipated the exec session will last approximately 45 minutes and conclude at 2:03. The regular meeting will adjourn upon the conclusion of the executive session.